Well, let us open God's Word together to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We come this morning to the very essence, the very core of the gospel. This is the holy of holies of this book. This is where we come to our Lord as he is crucified and as he gives up his life for the salvation of his people. We are looking at John 19 and verses 28 to 30. And we're looking at the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And thus reads God's word to us. The Lord Jesus Christ's death was not an accident. It was not an accident. It was the ultimate and supreme accomplishment of his work on earth. In fact, back in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, we see in the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke 9 and verse 28, these words. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Do you see the emphasis there? His death has been spoken of as an accomplishment. As the great accomplishment of his mission on earth. If we were to ask the question, what did the death of Christ accomplish? We see that in Romans chapter 5. Oh, this is by way of introduction to our text. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans 5 verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That is what the death of Christ accomplishes. So we have 5 points to consider this morning. We have a conscious, complete, confirming, confident, and controlled accomplishment. First of all, a conscious accomplishment. Verse 28 of John 19 reads, after this, Jesus knowing. It's those two words there. Jesus knowing. He was consciously aware of the accomplishment of, if you like, the success of his death. Not an accident, not a victim, but the work of salvation that we read of in Romans 5, accomplishing the justification and righteousness that his people needed. Back in chapter 13 of John, again we see this idea in John 13 verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, the knowledge of Christ. Again, he knew the plan, he knew the purpose, he knew the program. Nothing by accident, nothing taking him by surprise. Again, in the garden in John 18 verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, nothing took him by surprise. Back in chapter 2 of John, in verses 23 to 25, we read that Jesus did not need anybody to tell him about man, for he knew what was in a man. The knowledge of Christ is extensive, it is full. And here in our text, he knew that all things were now accomplished. We see here the victory of the cross, the glory of the cross. And Christ was consciously aware, and he knew that these things were accomplished. But then, secondly, we have a complete accomplishment. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Everything. There was nothing left undone. Nothing left. No loose ends, if I can say that reverently. All things. A complete accomplishment. And again, we see this going right back to the beginning of his ministry in Matthew chapter 3 with his baptism. In Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 13. Matthew 3 verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Look at the response of Jesus in verse 15. And he answered, said unto him, suffer it, or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us, or it is appropriate, or the right thing for us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, the Lord Jesus was conscious right from the beginning of this need for a complete accomplishment of the work. There could be no loose ends. There could be nothing left, no stone left unturned, no work left undone. Everything had to be done. We'll see that actually in the third point emphasized. But this is why Paul can say in Romans 8 and verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, because Christ had accomplished all things. And therefore, we receive because of him and in him all things. In fact, it goes on to verse 37 in Romans 8. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he goes on that Paul's persuaded, he's convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because of a complete accomplishment. Our salvation is complete. Our salvation is full because Christ accomplished all things. He completed all things. Nothing was left undone. Thirdly, we see a confirming and comprehensive accomplishment in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith I thirst. Right down to the fine detail of the thirst of Christ. What a fulfillment. What a fulfillment of Scripture. Christ is concerned on the cross right down to the fine details, because he realized that Scripture must be fulfilled. Scripture had to be fulfilled. Back in Psalm 22, verse 15, we see the type of thirst that Christ suffered for us. Psalm 22:15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Can I say, this is one of the great understatements of Scripture, when Christ said, I thirst. My strength is dried up, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. See, again, back in the beginning of Christ's ministry, back at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus emphasizes that every point had to be fulfilled. In Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Everything had to be answered. Everything had to be fulfilled, right down to the fine detail, right down to the last jot or tittle. Everything had to be done. What a contrast we see in our own lives. We leave so much undone, don't we? I was conscious of this morning, that of how much time I waste, how much I leave undone, but Christ left nothing undone, left nothing uncompleted. It was a comprehensive accomplishment, as we've said already, right down to the very fine details. Now in verse 29, it says there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Now this is different than what happened earlier. Earlier in the other Gospels, it says they brought him vinegar mixed with gall, which was to deaden the pain. It was to ease the pain of crucifixion, and he refuses that. So this is later. This is a different moment. At this point, he takes the drink, because it answers and it fulfills the Scripture. Again, this gives us a wonderful insight into the heart of Christ. He refuses the pain-deadening mixture for his own sake, but he receives it so that Scripture might be fulfilled. Amazing, isn't it? We're the opposite, aren't we? We tend to do primarily what's good for us, what's, you know, beneficial for me. We don't put the Lord first. Christ always put God and his word as the paramount thing, the primary thing. Even down to this point. So, fourthly, we have a confident accomplishment. Verse 30, a confident accomplishment. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. Notice he does not say, I am finished, but it is finished. A.W. Pink is very helpful here. And he actually goes into four scriptures where he shows the various uses of the Greek verb here. And in Matthew 11, verse 1, this is how the same Greek word is translated. When Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, the same word. Jesus made an end. So again, bringing that back to our text, Jesus made an end of the work. That's the idea. It is finished. Jesus made an end of it. He completed it. In Matthew 17, verse 24, the same Greek word is rendered this way. They that receive tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? The emphasis here is on payment. Payment. Not only did Jesus make an end of the work, but he paid to the full. He paid the last farthing for our sin. In Luke 2:39, this is the way it's translated. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. Performing all things. It is finished. All things were done. Luke 8:30-31, it is rendered, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. A confident accomplishment. It is finished. He cried, it is finished. He could state, it is made an end of, it is paid, it is performed, it is accomplished. In the words of Charles Wesley, love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Dying once, he all doth save. Where thy victory, O grave? See, this is our confidence as we gather here this morning, isn't it? In the finished work of Christ. The completed work of Christ. And Christ can confidently proclaim, can state to heaven and earth, it is finished. So many don't live in the joy of that statement. Sometimes we can foolishly think that it depends on us. Our happiness, our salvation depends on us. No, it all depends on the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is finished. It is accomplished. It is paid for. Christ has done it all. Sin, as someone once wrote, had left a crimson stain. Christ washed it whiter than snow. It is finished. We'll come to the Lord's table in a few minutes' time. We come to the Lord's table to a finished work, a completed work, a victorious work. And then lastly, we see a controlled accomplishment. A controlled accomplishment. Again, never a victim, never losing control. It says in verse 30, and he bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. Full control. His life was in his hands. His death was in his hands. At every moment, right up to the end. Right up to the end. He was never a victim. It was complete control. Because normally in crucifixion at this stage, the head would just collapse. There'd be no strength. But he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He says this back in John 10. Many men can make bold statements and, you know, courageous statements, but Christ backs these words up by his death. In John 10, verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." No victim. No loss of control. I lay it down that I might take it again. No man, look at verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. We see a powerful demonstration of this in John chapter 18, in the garden. We read verse 4 a few minutes ago. John chapter 18 and verse 4. "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them." Verse 6. Look what verse 6 says. "As soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground." Why is this included? To show that he is in complete control. Even as we said, looking at that verse, when we looked at John chapter 18, there were hundreds, possibly into the thousands, of soldiers and crowds who came to arrest him. And when he says, "I am he," they go backward and fall to the ground to prove and to demonstrate that he is no victim. That he is the sovereign Savior. A sovereign Savior. And that's why we can say, if Christ be for us, who can be against us? That is the confidence of our salvation. We have a confident salvation because we have a confident Savior. One who could say, "It is finished." The Lord bless his word to our souls. Amen. We'll sing together from Psalm 65 and verse 5. Psalm 65 and verse 5. "O God of our salvation, thou in thy righteousness, by fearful works unto our prayers, thine answer dost express. Therefore the ends of all the earth, and those at far that be, upon the sea their confidence, O Lord, will place in thee." Psalm 65, verse 5. O God of our salvation, let us stand to sing. By fearful works, Confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all our trust, who has conquered sin, death, the grave, and Satan, and has led captivity captive and given the gift of salvation unto men. Father, we pray that we would rejoice in the very depths of our soul because we have such a Savior.